Jürgen and I, when we first began, one of the very first, I think it's one of the very first courses we ever did, we did in a small little pension hotel down by the lake here in Diesen. So, yeah, it's been about 8 years since I taught anybody here. So that's interesting for me, nonetheless. Every once in a while, I get a bug in my head that I should do a gray course. And because I have students who are really basically fishy people who, you know, design is an imposition on them because they can't do anything with its logic, but they still dream of angels anyway. For the benefit of all of these people, every once in a while I do a gray course because it makes them feel like this is something mystical and special. You know, I'm an old black magician. I really do like to have fun with human beings, so I do have fun. However, this particular course is something that, yeah, it's of interest to me because I actually want to hear what I have to say. You know, it's one of the joys of knowing yourself and being able to laugh at your own movie. I have a totally unconscious mind. I have absolutely no idea what's inside of it. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I have no idea if I'm going to say it at all. You know, the way that I do courses is that I have an inspiration and I write down the name of the course. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Never have. You know, my daughter said, "You got great courses coming up for the Biversity." She said, "What are they about?" I said, "Don't know. We'll find out." I was given a lot of information. And I was given a lot of information about many things. Larger cycles have always fascinated me the most. I'm much more interested in the organic whole or in large components of the organic whole than I am with the individual. I've spent so many years now of my life delving into individual nature and individual design. And as fascinating as that is, and it is fascinating, I'm much more curious about the larger cycles that move us. See, evolutionary theory or concepts about the ongoing development of humanity are things that we've had to speculate on based on historical or archaeological evidence from the past. What fascinates me about understanding cycles is that I can participate in the evolutionary process. That's something that I find very intriguing. Not simply to be caught up in a wave of reflection on how things have moved, but being conscious of where you are in the movement of all things. It's one of the beauties of this knowledge is that it can give you that kind of perspective. So our journey over the next days is a journey through a cycle, and it is a cycle that is rooted in very, very old revealed knowledge. Everything about human design is a synthesis. There are obvious components of the synthesis that everybody deals with in design. The I Ching and the chakra system and the Kabbalah and astrology and, you know, these basic structures. But I was told about something, in a way, you have a relationship to it. That is, it's come to be known as the Tarot. By saying that, by the way, I don't want you to give that a direct association. The Tarot as it exists and as it has existed for 400 or 500 years has nothing to do with its true origins. However, like all things that are revealed and lost, bits and pieces show up and get reconstructed. In the knowledge that I was given, I was taken back to the root of what that knowledge was all about, and it's called sequencing. It was something that was a possession of the ancient Egyptian priesthood. And it was their understanding that everything was caught up in a sequence, and that all of us operated in sequence. In order to be able to give that to you in a way that you can use this information. Like everything about human design gives us logical tools for exploration. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to translate a very, very ancient knowledge into the context that we use and understand. That is, I'm going to show you what the sequences are. I'm going to show you those sequences in the context of the hexagram structure. After all, when you're looking at the I Ching and you're looking at that structure, what you're looking at is the genetic code of the whole. So what I'm going to show you is the way in which the genetic code is sequenced. What's interesting about that is that that's a language of geneticists, the sequence of DNA, the sequence of DNA strands. And basically everything is rooted into this larger sequencing, because this larger sequencing is our evolutionary pattern. It's always nice to give you something large to start with. I can
get into gear,
I can sip my coffee. When I was given the cosmology according to the voice, that cosmology included the way in which our evolutionary process was structured. And it was structured around a time frame that was called a round. A round is a time span of 19,364 years. It is just about the same as what the ancient Brahmins called a tetrayuga, which is approximately the same amount of time. In other words, it's one of these ancient markings of a complete cycle. We've gone through many rounds. We've gone through many rounds in the evolutionary development of our design crystals to keep on producing more and more sophisticated biochemical machinery. However, the round that we are presently involved in, this is the round that brings the climax of our process. And that round began a long time ago. That is, it began about 16,000 years ago, which means that we don't have an enormous amount of time left. In looking at the nature of a round of 19,000 plus years, the way in which a round is divided evolutionarily is that it's divided into 64 steps. These are the larger sequences of an evolutionary process, and each step in that evolutionary process is repeated in each round. But again, we're dealing with a spiral. In other words, there's a new level of sophistication that's added each time that you go through the spiral of that 1 to 64 steps over a 19,000 plus structural period. One of the first things that is obviously confusing to anybody that approaches the I Ching is that its numbering system does not make any sense. It just doesn't. If you look at the way in which the structure of the hexagrams is laid out in the wheel, in looking at the way that that structure works, you can see that there is always a perfect movement in the actual mathematics of the hexagrams. In other words, there is this movement that goes from the second gate with its deep, deep yin to the first gate at the other side, which is yang. Now look, if it was my job to look at the mathematical formula of the I Ching and to number the hexagrams, I would have numbered them differently. I mean, okay, we can make number one number one, but that other side over there, that number two, that's going to have to be number 33, because that's actually where it is. It's opposite the one. And if you follow the sequence of the structure of the hexagrams, it's exactly 32 places away. What to do, Tom? Life is hard. I have to strip naked for him. This is going to be a very unusual gray course. The 64 steps, one thing at a time over 3 days, and at the end, who knows? You're just trying to distract me. So if you're looking at the mathematical structure, the obvious is, excuse me, whoever numbered this was using the wrong kind of drugs, because this does not make any sense, none whatsoever. And it doesn't make any sense until you understand that there is another kind of sequence inherent. See, I'm a dualist. I'm as deep a dualist as you can possibly be, and I never see one thing without saying, wait a minute, where's the other side? You see, if we look at, for example, this is what's called the heavenly order. If we look at this order of the structure of the hexagrams, all of that's wonderful and perfect. We know how to work with that. We know the relationship of one to the other because there is a structural relationship. Yet when you're looking at the true numbering of it, remember that numbering was inspiration, revelation, whatever you want to call it. When you look at the numbering, you have to see the numbering has nothing to do with the inner structure that we get out of looking at the chops and the way they're structured. That numbering system is showing us about the way in which we literally progress in an evolutionary process, and we do start with the one, and we do end with the 64. And all of you that have a 63 know the joke then. You start with the 1 and you go to the 64. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to take you through the steps, and I'm going to show you in that sense how those steps, what they bring to humanity as a whole, as an evolutionary, as an ongoing process.